Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. How are you? Great. In John 15, Jesus reminds us that he is the vine and we are the branches. And if we reside in him and he resides in us, we will be fruitful. Now, Paul in Galatians lists what it means to be fruitful. It means to have joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, what does this have to do with our scripture today? I want to refer you to peace. A peace that comes from the hope that no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's happening to us, God is there with us and that he will lead us to a good end. So please listen to your personal message in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not spin or labor. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? Or what shall I drink? Or what shall I wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture. And on my personal note, next week we will not be having Bible study before church. It will resume at 9:30 the following week.
Thank you, Bill. Very, very nice. It's weird how sermons sometimes work out. This is about clothes. And when I was getting dressed to come here this morning, I hurt my thumb. You can tell it's all bruised. And this is a result of the motorcycle accident when I hit the deer years ago. And every once in a while, if I put too much pressure on it, it gets like that and I can't use it. It took me about 10 minutes to get my shirt on this morning, literally. I couldn't do the buttons. Then I was getting into the car. Sunday mornings, I don't know. I just have a tough time with them. And then I went to straighten my tie. It's kind of a habit I have. I didn't have a tie on. And I thought, should I just go on to church without it? I said, well, yeah, old age. I said, well, what will people be thinking if I go and show up with no tie? Then I thought, I started worrying a little bit. And I said, I'm doing exactly what I'm going, telling people not to do. I felt that little bit of worry come in. I said, that's crazy. A tie is not worth worrying about. But I had enough time to put a tie on. So I went and ran up and got one really quickly. But it's funny how little things can happen. And we can start fretting over the little things in life that really have no meaning. What would it matter if I had a tie on or didn't have a tie on? How many people would get up and walk out of church? There you go. She's looking for a reason. There's a story of a man who was a worrier. We all know him. He showed in his face and his posture all humped over like he's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. One day this man changed, though. He had a bounce in his step and standing straight up and looking the world straight in the eyes. Not a care in the world. And a friend asked him, "Well, what happened? What is the difference in you?" He said, "Well," he confided, "as you know, I've always been one to worry about everything, the little things, the big things, everything. Now I've decided that's both unwise and it's unhealthy. So I have hired someone to do the worrying for me." So, "Well, how much does that cost?" a friend asked. "Oh, about $1,000 a week." "But how can you afford to pay someone that much to worry for you?" The man's response, "That's his worry now." Amen to that. I wish it was that easy to get rid of some of our worries, don't you? In the Peanuts cartoon, Linus tells Charlie Brown, "When I hear those coyotes howling at night, it totally depresses me. I start to feel lonely, then I get scared." Charlie Brown says, "I thought holding on to that blanket made you feel secure." Then Linus says, "You know, I think the warranty has run out on my blanket." And that's the problem with most security blankets, the things that we hold on. The warranty runs out. Irma Bombeck once told about a little guy named Donald. He was worrying about his first day of going to school. And I still remember my first day of school because I had a little horror story. And here's how he expressed his anxiety. He says, "My name is Donald, and I don't know anything. I have new underwear. I have a loose tooth, and I don't sleep at night because I'm worried about going to school. What if a bell rings and a man yells, 'Where do you belong?' and I don't know? What if it's trays in the cafeteria too tall and I can't reach it and get my tray for my lunch? What if my tooth comes loose and there's time to put our heads down on the desk and I start bleeding? Am I supposed to bleed quietly? What if I splash water on my name tag and my name disappears and no one knows who I am?" Poor Donald, poor us. Worry about the big things, the little things. Worry about the future. Worry about the past. Worry about our finances. Worry about our family. And it's for people like Linus and Donald and you and me that Jesus once spoke these words. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life?" My guess is there are some of you in this room today who need to heed these words of our Lord. You're literally worrying yourself sick over some situation in your life. You're weighing yourself down with still another situation in your life, and they're starting to pile up on you. And it's breaking you down, breaking your back, so to speak. And you need desperately to stop for a moment and consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field and turn your worries over to God. Worry is a needless burden that keeps us from being all that God created us and called us to be. That's the conclusion of a well-known author and teacher, Dr. Eric Butterworth. If you have a real problem, it alone is that of worry. If you're already ill, Dr. Butterworth says, would you take something which would further upset you, eat out the lining of your stomach, give you a headache, make you tense, and make you irritable? Of course not. Yet that is what we do when we have a problem and we treat it with worry. We simply add another burden and make the situation even worse. So how can we get rid of this demon called worry? What does Jesus say can help us lighten the load for today? First of all, we need to understand that worry is not based so much on outer circumstances as on an inner condition. Do you understand that? I mean, really understand it. Worry comes not so much from what is happening to us from the outside things coming at us, as much as it comes from how we process it on the inside. You don't need to raise your hand, but is anyone in this room going to go hungry today? Is anyone going to lose their home today? Probably not. Maybe so. If you are, talk to me. Talk to someone. The people Jesus was speaking to had real concerns about survival. Real concerns. There was no government programs, no safety nets for them. No Medicare, no Medicaid, no hospitals to go to. They could lose their job, they could starve to death, they could literally lose everything. Everything. Most of us live lives that are much more secure than that. We worry more with less reason than any people who have ever lived on the face of this earth. Now, this is not to minimize the very real problems that many of us face in our life. Yet our worry often reflects the condition of our souls more than it does the condition of our circumstances. For some people, a bad hair day is a real crisis, a cause of deep personal anguish, and the whole day is ruined and they're irritable all day. For others, a diagnosis of cancer can be dealt with a sense of confidence and faith, trusting in God's love. It depends on what you have on the inside more than what is happening and coming at you from the outside. Some of you know the name Tug McGraw, especially if you are a baseball fan. Today, Tug is better known as the father of country singer Tim McGraw. But old-timers remember Tug McGraw as the relief pitcher of the New York Mets. Tug is remembered for coining the motto, "You gotta believe." I like that. During the Mets' run for the 1973 World Series, he's also renowned as a star reliever who pitched the final strike in the 1980 World Champion Philadelphia Phillies, which is the only World Series they ever won. One reason Tug McGraw was successful was his frozen snowball theory of pitching. Tug explained it like this: if I come in to pitch and the bases are loaded and a heavy hitter like Willie Stargell is at bat, there's no reason I want to throw the ball to him. No reason whatsoever. But eventually I have to throw the pitch. So I remind myself that in a few billion years, the earth will become a frozen snowball hurtling through space, and no one is going to know who Tug McGraw or Willie Stargell ever was. No one. Did you hear what he's saying? Some people in that same situation would freeze up. They would put all the pressure on themselves. I'm facing Willie Stargell. It's the World Series. What am I going to do? What if he hits a home run? What if I fail? They put the pressure on themselves and they would add the burden of worry to the task at hand of pitching to an all-star hitter. The outward circumstance is the same, but inwardly there's a very real difference on how people face the situation that confronts them. Worry is not based so much on an outer circumstance as much as on an inner condition. We may not be able to solve the outward circumstances, but the way we respond to it can make all the difference in our lives. And one way that we do that is live in the present and focus on today. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That sounds, when you read it, it sounds very negative. You and I aren't God. We don't know the future, even though a lot of people try to predict the future, even the end of the world. We may be worrying about something that will never happen. I talk to people all the time about that. Well, did it happen? Well, no. How much time did you spend worrying about it? Ooh, a lot. Sometimes years. We may be worrying about something that will resolve itself, so we need to focus on today. That doesn't mean you don't plan for things, but what good is worry going to do? A few years back, psychologist Richard Carlson wrote a best-selling book titled Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. A lot of you know about that book. Carlson ironically died of a heart attack at age 45. But he got his idea one day while driving with his six-year-old daughter home from school. They got caught in rush hour traffic and they spent 40 minutes along the freeway. As they sat there in the car, Carlson's daughter kept looking at the car, and they were, you know how you kind of pass and you get up at somebody, and she kept looking at the people and said, Dad, why does everybody look so mad? Her statement caused Carlson to begin looking at all the people stuck in the traffic, and he realized that they did have grim looks on their face, sour-looking faces. Anxiety seemed to fill their faces. And knew they probably weren't mad, but they sure didn't look happy, that's for sure. And it caused him to reflect on the causes of their unhappiness. Perhaps they were just thinking about what needed to be done when they got home. Perhaps they were children to pick up, errands to run, dinner to make, work to do once they got home. Or perhaps being stuck in traffic gave them a chance to think about things and start turning things over and over in their mind about their families, about their work, about their health, whatever situation might be going on in their life. And the result was that they looked mad or angry. And so Carlson wrote his book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, because he was convinced that most of the things that we worry about are really not worth worrying about in the first place. A famous speaker once put life into perspective like this. He said, you are born, big stuff. You die, big stuff. Everything in between, small stuff. Carlson's book reflects on that same perspective. In fact, the full title is Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff. You all know I've been through some pretty heavy stuff in the last few years. And when Robin sent a psychiatrist for many years, I would go also. And sometimes I would go by myself to talk to her. And one day I went in, and you know, a lot of stuff was going on. And we were talking, and I said, it doesn't matter, I'm going to die. And she looked at me, and I looked about ready to pick up the phone and dial 911 and get someone in there. And I started laughing. And she turned her head sideways and was kind of looking at me. I said, Ann, all this stuff doesn't matter. Truly, it doesn't, because one day, I am going to die. None of this is going to matter. None of it. Not a single thing, not a single bad thing that has ever happened to me. All that I am going through in my life is not going to matter. Because I'm going to be dead and I'm going to be in heaven. And she said, I guess you're right. And she started laughing. She said, I don't usually hear stuff like that in here. And I said, well, that's the way that it is. And that's the way I'm trying to live my life. Well, yeah, I get caught up like everybody else. Reason some of the sermons come out. Because we can all get caught up in worry. We can all get caught up in the anxiety of life and the situations and start fretting about the future and what will happen. But you got to look at the big picture. We're destined for heaven. One of the secrets of life is to focus on today. Are you healthy at this moment? Are you breathing? Have you got something to eat? Have you got a roof over your head? Then give thanks for this moment and try not to anticipate what may never occur. Live, says Jesus, in the present. And always do the right thing. Jesus says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So righteousness is a key word in the formula for defeating worry. Many people have a sense of guilt in their life, and they can't move forward, and they keep worrying because they're guilty over things that they've done back here. That's one of the things, as I talked about in AA, one of the things that they do so the people in AA can move forward, they have people go back and basically say, I'm sorry to people that they've hurt, so they can move on. Some people accept it, some don't. But they move on. One man put a firecracker on a railroad track and it bothered him all of his life. He said, it's the only bad thing I ever did. He was 80 years old and went back and turned himself into the police. Police said, well, there's no record of this and statute of limitations. Just don't do it again. But it had been haunting him his whole life. His whole life. Conscious problem is a little too well developed, but some people torment themselves. And so one way we can defeat worry is always try to do the right thing, focus on the day, and live righteously. And finally, trust in God's love for you. Listen to Jesus' words. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? The Greek word for lilies here means wildflowers or weeds. In other words, those grasses, those flowers that just grow without you having to cultivate them, they just grow. You don't have to put any Miracle-Grow on them or weed around. They just grow. And since wood was scarce in Palestine, these wildflowers were sometimes used for firewood. And Jesus is saying, look, God's care extends even to these wildflowers, which eventually end up in the furnace. How much more then will God care for you, O you of little faith? And that is the heart of the problem sometimes. Our lack of faith that God really loves us, that God really will take care of us and be there with us, even in the tough times. And we really don't know how much God loves us. That's why we worry about the future, and that's why we hold on to the mistakes of our past. I love the way the prophet Isaiah puts it in the Old Testament. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me. Then Isaiah adds these wonderful, beautiful words. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. Isaiah is saying that not even a mother might forget her children, but God will never forget us, never turn his back on us. And can you even imagine a greater love than a mother has for her child in that proper relationship. And yet the testimony in Scripture is that God's love for each of us is far greater than the love that you can ever have for your child. So this is the message that Jesus sends to each of us for today. Don't worry. Be happy. Worry is not going to help you. Live in the present. Do the right thing. Remember that God loves you. God will provide for you. As Tug McGraw says, you gotta believe. Don't worry. Be happy. As a gangster in a movie might say, don't worry about it. Right? If anybody has worried about things and that's made your life better, come talk to me and tell me how. I want to know, because you're the only one in the whole world. You're special. God bless you. Amen.